considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
In those days, A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. field, keeping watch over the flock by night.
And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them,
"Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
Thank you.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them.
Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him."
Thank you. At Christmas, of course, we celebrate the birth of the most significant life in the history of the world. It would be hard to argue that anyone has had more of a lasting influence than Jesus, which means there is no way that we could detail the full significance of Jesus' life in one night, or even all the nights. In fact, churches all over the world have met for 2,000 years in the cumulative teaching of all those churches for all those years still has not exhausted everything that can be said about Jesus. He is limitless. So our purpose tonight is not to be comprehensive, because we can't be. Instead, our purpose tonight is just to be introductory, to say enough about Jesus to help you get started with him, for you to maybe begin a lifelong and even eternal pursuit and delight of him. So to do that, we read a number of classic texts describing the Nativity, and for many of you, those passages are quite familiar, although I bet they have never sounded quite as great as they did tonight being read by children. But from those brief descriptions of Jesus and his birth, we can make a number of observations. One, Jesus is God who came to be with us. Two, Jesus is God who came to save. And three, Jesus is worthy to be king over our lives. So first, Jesus is God who came to be with us. Christianity actually stands apart from other religions in a number of ways, one of which is that really all other religions give instructions for how we can get to God. It's as if God is at the top of a mountain, right? This illustration did not originate with me, but it's helpful. So just imagine God on top of a mountain, and one religion describes one path you could take up the mountain to get to God. Another religion describes another path to get up, but each of them teach ways that we get ourselves up the mountain. Conversely, very differently, Christianity teaches God came down the mountain to get to us. So instead of Christianity being a path for how we get to God, it describes the path God took to get to us, how God came to be with us in the person of Jesus. In other words, the journey that connects God and humans is God's journey. For us, there is no quest to get to him. There is no pilgrimage for us to seek out and discover a God who is kind of obscure. We don't go on a treasure hunt looking for him. Instead, it is God who sets out on a quest. God is the one that makes the pilgrimage to get to us. We may not even be looking for him, and he arrives. Jesus' name, in fact, in Hebrew, Yeshua, means deliverer. He is a rescuer. He is a God who comes to save. And as would be the case with any deliverer or rescuer, he comes to you, right? So for instance, if your house is burning down, it is not up to you to get yourself to the fire department, right? The fire department comes to you because they're a rescuer. Or if you're drowning in the sea, you don't seek out the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard comes to you. So in a similar way, Jesus comes to us as a deliverer, as a rescuer. He comes to save us from our sin, as we just heard tonight. The story of the Bible is that we, as humanity, we were once with God. If you're continuing the metaphor of God being on top of the mountain, you could say we were once on top of the mountain with God, enjoying his goodness, and we were whole because we were with him. But we left. We walked away. We abandoned him, descended off the mountain. got ourselves entangled with all the darkness in the world, in the valley below, as it were. And our wholeness, therefore, was shattered. We exchanged, by choice, perfection for imperfection. We exchanged light for darkness. We exchanged immortality, in a way, for mortality. And we can't get back. We are too broken to put ourselves fully back together. It's what the Bible calls sin. We're in too deep to escape. It's actually why these other religions that outline a path for us to take back to the top of the mountain, those ultimately won't work because we can't get ourselves there. That's not to say we can't improve. Of course we can. But we can't reach the light and goodness and wholeness that we abandoned. We're stuck. We cannot rescue ourselves. And that might have been the end of the story of the Bible. But God so loved the world. He so loved you. He so loved me that even though we had given up on him, he had not given up on us. He so loved the world that he sent his son to rescue us, to deliver us, to save us from our sins. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and that same Jesus would eventually save us by going to the cross, where he reversed our exchange. He swallowed up our mortality so we could have his immortality. He swallowed up our darkness so we could have his light. He swallowed up our imperfection and our brokenness so we could have his perfection and wholeness. He swallowed up our sin so we could have his life. He pulled us to the top of the mountain. He saved us. And if he did that, and he did, then he is a God who is worthy to be king over our lives, which is what we see these wise men do when they see Jesus. These magi, as they are sometimes called, and the historians would tell you these men were probably kings of some sort. They were certainly leaders with great wealth and knowledge. They knew enough astronomy to watch the stars. But when these magi kings see Jesus, even as a little baby, or as a toddler, as you might have been when they got there, they fall on their knees before him. They bring him gifts. They worship him. One reason that's notable is these men were accustomed to other people bowing down to them. You know, they aren't the ones that would typically bow. Others bow to them. Magi would have had servants. People would offer magi gifts. People would seek out the wisdom of the magi. But when magi see Jesus, even as small as he was, their actions, through their actions, they express their wisdom was nothing compared to his. And they bow to him. They show he is the king. We are the servants. So he is the king of kings, even as a baby. That's how they respond. And it's what Jesus is worthy of. So, of course, with everyone here, I don't know where each of us might have been spiritually when we walked in the door tonight. Maybe you are someone who is hearing about Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've never really given much thought about your need for rescue. On the other hand, maybe you've heard about Jesus a lot, but you've never fully surrendered to him. In other words, he's not where you bow. Something else is Lord over your life and commands what you do on a daily basis. But regardless of where you were when you entered this room, I can tell you, you would not be here tonight if God were not already working in your life, already drawing you to himself. He is speaking to you. He is knocking on your front door. He wants to restore wholeness in you. He is the source of light and goodness and life. A new year starts in about a week. So maybe 2024 is when you will really press in, investigate, follow, and surrender your life to the one who is worthy of our bow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to save us. Thank you for entering into history to pull us to you. Thank you that you are a deliverer. Thank you that you did not leave us in our need, but you came to get us. I pray, Lord, that each of us would have an awareness of our sin, awareness of our brokenness, and that we would cry out for your rescue. If we haven't done that before, Lord, I pray that each of us would do it tonight and that all of us would do it always. We pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the ways that we have for years and years pictured Jesus' light coming into our lives is by singing Silent Night at the end of this service with candlelight. And so in just a minute, we're going to start playing and singing this very familiar hymn. And as light spreads around the room, imagine Jesus' presence expanding around this room and into your life and into your heart, that he is the light of the world, that he came into the darkness, that he came into even the deepest darkness to bring us back to him, to restore us, to reconcile us. I'll give you one friendly tip with lighting your candle. The person with the flame should hold the candle up. The person who is getting the flame should bend the candle to the flame. Otherwise, you're going to spill wax all over your neighbor. Let us celebrate Jesus coming into the world together. go through your Christmas day tomorrow, through your week, and on to the next year, may the light of Christ fill your life and all those around you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and good night. Good night.